It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's May 16th and 17th, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on Saturday, May 16th, the show runs at 9:05. If you're listening to this on Sunday, May 17th, it runs at 7:05. And for those of you that like the little nuances and little nuggets of information that my guests provide, we load the radio show as a podcast on the anydelta.com website. We have a radio section, and there's 10 years of programming on the Northeast Delta Dental website. As my good pal Ken Kale likes to say, Northeast Delta Dental Radio is the longest-running radio show with the same name on the Pulse. So what do you think of that, Joe?
That's pretty good, Tom.
Not bad, and that's just a sideline for what I do. Anyway, so that voice that you heard, that voice is not Pavarotti. It's not Plácido Domingo. It's not John Denver. But Joe Casper, our director of all things Delta Dental when it comes to facilities, external events, COVID-19 sanitation, running WebEx conferences, which is all that we do. So, in the spirit of we need to be real. This show is going to be about virtual racing because obviously most races, certainly through June, but obviously already the Beach to Beacon race, which is scheduled in August in Maine, has already been canceled, and I think you'll see further cancellations. So we'll get to the virtual racing, but I know people want the show to be relevant as well. So, Joe, why don't you describe a little bit in terms of COVID-19, all the planning, all the calls, all that we've done at Northeast Delta Dental. We're not saying we've done things the best. We have processes. For example, I know I have two WebExes every day, one in the morning with my general counsel, CFO, and VP of Human Resources, and then as Joe knows, because he actually runs them now, we have a VP meeting at 2 o'clock every day via WebEx, and then there's various other subgroups. We had a pandemic planning group, believe it or not, several years ago. And, of course, Joe, I have to tell the story in the sense of needing a little humor in this. So believe it or not, we planned for a pandemic, and we bought 250 masks because we have about 200 employees. And, of course, though, when you're actually in the pandemic and when a higher calling calls, when Dartmouth Hitchcock was short on masks, we, shipped up our masks to Dartmouth Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. But, fortunately, we have a client called Seabags, one of our clients in Maine. And they make those beautiful casings and other things out of sea sails. So you might see me walking around with my laptop with a really nice bag that says Delta Dental. Well, that's actually made by Seabags. So anyway, so we have enough masks now. We have those. We have others we got from a different supplier. So tell us about all the planning activities, and now that we're right in the messy middle of COVID-19, all of the activities. And again, we're just sharing what we've done. We don't necessarily think these are all best practices, although I think we've done a great job. It started with, candidly, we had board meetings on March 12th and 13th. And then, Joe, as you know, I'm prone to say, then the egg hit the fan. And basically starting on Monday, March 16th, we got most of our employees, starting to work virtually. So take us back and all the things you've done, to help us with this.
Sure. It's been 2 months, Tom, since the world turned upside down on us. We were moving along. The world was moving along. We had, I've been actively involved in the Concord Chamber of Commerce. We had business after hours. We had one just before all of this hit. And it was starting to filter down in the first part of March, but then by mid-March, when the World Health Organization declared this a pandemic, everything turned upside down. So all the things we were planning on and had in place all of a sudden had to come to a screeching halt, and they had to shut the country down. And you know, it was no different here. We quickly moved into action. We got about 200 people on our Concord campus, and we put about 80% of those at home right away. Set them up. Our IT department did a phenomenal job in getting people to work remotely. We had some folks working remotely, as many companies do, but we got folks working remotely. We got them the devices and tools that they needed to work remotely, and we cut our staffing down here to probably 25 or 30 folks that had to be in because we had to have the phone staffed for calls that were coming in still from dentists and insurance.
Let me take a pause here and explain that, because obviously people listening are thinking, well, there's got to be customer call systems that people can answer from home. And some of us, I'm sure all of us now have experienced, you call your credit card company or bank or something, and someone from home is answering. So part of our pandemic planning was we knew we needed a new phone system because we have what's called an automatic call distribution system. So the first person that calls in gets the most available agent, and we pride ourselves in human customer service. So we have 25 people who did physically present at 2 Delta, and so we knew that one day maybe they would have to work virtually. So we were right in the middle of installing a new phone system, and that occurred in March and April. So we would have been ready. So what Joe is describing is that properly spaced, we now only have 6 or 7, customer service reps, at 2 Delta. But even then, if this pandemic had hit, let's say, next year, all of those people could have been working at home. And if this pandemic and social distancing and virtual working continues on, once the new phone system is in September, we basically could have those people also working at home. So it's a very small number of people that need to be in here with me. And as Joe knows, we're all socially distanced. We're following the task force, 2.0 process, wearing masks. And everybody fills out a questionnaire every morning now with making sure that their temperature is right and there's no fever and things like that. And so we're following all the proper guidelines. And all I know, Joe, the few people I see around here, all the different sizes and shapes of masks, but everybody's wearing them.
Everybody's wearing masks. Our staff is doing a great job at following the orders that the governor and the state has put out. And we're getting adjusted to this new norm, if you want to call it a new norm, of social distancing, of making sure that we're healthy so that we can beat this terrible virus that's out there and claiming so many lives. And it's amazing that back in 2014, we actually developed a pandemic plan that we had put together and put together thoughtfully. As Tom mentioned, we had some masks that we kind of stashed away, but it was amazing that we were able to pull that plan out. And what's changed from 6 years ago when we put it together and we took a look at it from time to time has been the fact of the whole electronic situation, whereby we've now have Zoom, we have WebEx. There are so many more tools available to folks on a regular and daily basis that allows them to be able to work from home seamlessly. I mean, back in 2014, we were still thinking, okay, we're going to have to space, a lot of people out and create a whole different environment. And today, folks are working from home, and what was amazing, we turned this all around in a few days, and we really didn't miss a beat. And we were able to keep answering the phones, keep answering questions. We provided relief to dentists and to dental offices. We took care of our employees. We provided them all the tools that they needed so they could begin to work remotely. And we're into this new environment. I've talked to folks, both employees who have been working from home, or unfortunately we had to furlough a few employees because there wasn't any business. We weren't having the plethora of calls that we normally have because dental offices are closed.
So what we did there, just to elucidate a little bit, is obviously when dentists could see people beyond emergencies, you know, there was a certain throughput of claims every week, and as those dwindled down to, you know, emergencies, plus we allowed, part of our flexibility was allowing claims that might have been in process, you know, to process those. We got through those. I mean, at some point, you know, there was probably about 15% of our employee colleagues didn't have the work activity, so they went on furlough, and as it's kicking up now again, you know, we'll be bringing those people back. But it was all done in a measured way, compassionately, gave people, you know, 10 extra days of emergency earned time to, you know, segue into the unemployment. So mm-hmm. it's part of overall planning that, you know, we're compassionate, that we look at numbers. You know, what I like to say is, you know, risk is quantifiable and uncertainty is on a qualitative basis, and so we wanted to make sure that everybody that was physically here was safe and everybody else could work at home, and that the numbers were right. Joe mentioned that we gave relief checks to our dental community, so those we literally, with social spacing, had a team of finance people put those together for me and got them out when the dentists, you know, were in most need. And of course our group customers as well, you know, would, you know, needed relief, and so we had to, you know, strategize. So more on that after commercial break. We'll finish that discussion, and then we'll get right into, well, not necessarily as important as safety and pandemic planning, but something that is a reality that the most, if not all, races have been canceled, and so there's now a new niche called virtual racing. So we'll get to that after commercial break. Tom Raffio with Joe Casper. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Joe Casper, jack of all trades and master of many. How's that, Joe?
At
Northeast Delta. Everybody knows you in the Concord area. You were the chair of the Concord Chamber, and when you lived in different parts of New Hampshire, you were chairs of other chambers, and of course you're well known as well for Toastmasters. And, of course, I've dragged you into racing now, but you love it. You've become an announcer extraordinaire. And so one of the byproducts, obviously, of COVID-19 is social distancing. And so Saturday, March 14th, was probably the last race. I know I mentioned in the first half of the show that, you know, we had regular meetings here on Friday the 13th and Thursday the 12th. We had one road race, you know, the next day, the 14th. And then basically once it was declared a pandemic, once the American Dental Association said, you know, dentists should only see emergencies. And here's a big one for me. The day that the NBA canceled games and said we're on a halt, I think that got everybody's attention. So really, since mid-March, we've all gotten the heartfelt cancellations from, you know, from road races, including our own Joe Capillier Race Series, a long-time series that began in March and ended in July, began in Gilmington and ended in first, the Lutie race, and by the way, Bill Rudy did die, and God rest his soul, unrelated to COVID-19, and then the week after was the Canterbury Woodchuck Classic. But all those races obviously have been canceled, and any of my Cars friends, Capillier Race Series friends, if you haven't talked to Joe and you wanted a refund, you can call him at 223-1287 or J. Casper, not as the ghost, but JKASPER at anydelta.com, and Joe can coordinate a refund, or you can just apply this year's Capillier Race Series to next year. You liked how I know your phone numbers and emails right off the top of my head?
Well, you know, after just about 20 years being with you, Tom.
So all those races have been canceled. I mentioned the Beach to Beacon race has been canceled already, and that's in August. The Mount Washington Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, that's been moved right now to August 22nd from Father's Day weekend of this year, and who knows if that's going to happen. Obviously, the Boston Marathon was moved to the fall. Who knows if that's going to happen. So the result of all this is the savvy race directors and running companies and other entrepreneurs have come up with something called virtual racing. So take us through that, Joe.
Well, you know, Tom, we had when this all started back in March, we were 3 days away from starting the 2020 Capital Area Race Series with the Gilmington 5K, and things abruptly shut down, and then we just determined that since we can't gather more than 10 people, we took the whole series, and anybody that registered for the 2020 series is automatically registered for the 2021 series. Hopefully by then they'll have a vaccine out. But what's happened is there's a lot of innovation that's out there, and what has really popped up has been virtual road racing. A lot of folks like to get out and run, but it's also nice, especially for people that, you know, perhaps might not have gone out to get the exercise or to go out for that run, which a lot of runners run anyways on a daily basis. But virtual racing has come about whereby it gives you a sense of completion. A lot of this now is you can, you know, it's basically a challenge that you pay to enter and you're expected to meet a target within a certain period of time to win a medal or a prize or a certificate. A lot of these races, from what I'm seeing online and starting to learn about, because this is a whole new environment for us, a lot of them now you can run some of these virtual races. You do it all remotely. There are apps out there, so you can press your start time, your stop time. That all gets recorded. You can see all the people that have been running in that block of time and what their times were, where you fit in. And the organizers of these races usually have a charity or something like that. So the money that you're paying up front, I talked to a neighbor of mine who I met on a walk the other day, and she had told me that...
Well, I hope you're speaking with her from 6 feet away, Joe.
Oh, absolutely. We kept our social distance, but her and a friend had entered one of these virtual races, had gone over to Clough State Park, and ran 3.1 miles, ran a 5K. They were socially distanced, and they got, they had a bib that they could put on that reflected the race. They got a medal, and it's a package that comes up front. And for some of these things, Gone for a Run is just one of the many websites that are out there. But there are packages out there that you can order all the swag that you want. They've got pricing for that. Millennium Running does virtual racing. Granite State Racing Services is up online. They've got some virtual races that are going on as well. So if you're interested in doing a virtual race, let's say you've got a friend that you've been talking to, and it's always good when you can have a buddy to walk with or run with, and you can find a street that's not heavy traffic. It's easy enough to maintain a 6 foot distance. You can't congregate with more than 10 people, and 10 people is kind of hard to keep that 6 foot distance even when you're running. But if you've got two or three people, you can spread out on a trail or something like that and keep that distance if you're all, if you've got the same pace going on. And also, if there's enough space, so that if one is a faster runner than the others, they can move ahead. But it can be an individual thing. It can be a couple of people together. They can run. It gives you that sense of camaraderie because there's a lot of folks out there that are feeling very isolated today, having been inside. They're cooped up. I'm really worried when all of a sudden we get into the, 70s and 80s, people are just going to be outside, and things are going to start to fill up, and trying to keep that social distance, hopefully we've got that in everybody's head about that, is what's going to keep this virus from expanding further than what it already has.
Now, on the concept of virtual racing, it started kind of slow, but now almost every day I'm getting one. So, for example, one of the big races that we sponsor is the Hollis Fast 5K, which usually occurs right during the week prior to the Mount Washington Road Race. And that was it's called the Fast 5K because literally you're going downhill the whole time, so None of these statistics count because you're going downhill, but there were some incredibly fast times for 5Ks, like 14, 15 minutes. And then, of course, the following Saturday, you were slowly making the mountain. But I just see, for example, they put out a virtual race. And I think the one thing is just getting it done between now and the race date, in this case it's June 11th, doesn't mean you have to replicate what the course would have been going downhill. You just have to as they say, run, walk, crawl, or push yourself to a 5K. And basically the way I'm running now, I think it's probably the equivalent of pushing myself with a fast walk. But in any event, so I think humans are ingenious. I think we all understand the importance of following guidelines that are out there. Social distancing, it's not a laughing matter, but we all still need our exercise. As you know, Joe, every day I do a message to all of our employees, the ones here in Concord, but also the virtual ones, and there's always a wellness component. I want people, even they're working at home, take a walk break. If you're in the office, take a walk break. We give a tip from Coach Tom Walton, you know, whether it's food or some other wellness tip. So I think you'll see virtual racing really geometrically expand because basically, if there is no vaccine, theoretically, even with better testing and things like that, if you're congregating at the start of a road race, you're packed in. Yeah, you're taking a certain amount of risk. And of course, I get it. Risk is quantifiable, but nevertheless, I think we'll see more of this virtual racing. So why don't we conclude with, Joe, thank you for all you're doing, for helping me lead this company, Northeast Delta Dental, to continue to serve our dentists, our customers, making sure our employees are safe, answering calls for the citizens of New Hampshire. Plus, meanwhile, we have fulfilled our commitments for different sponsorships, even if something is turned into virtual. And I know when we both felt bad that the Capital Race Series had to be postponed till next year, but we'll be back.
We'll be back,
In the meantime, we missed your announcing voice at these races, and maybe you'll find a way to be a virtual announcer. But don't give up your daytime job.
Trust me, I won't. But hopefully we'll all get back together again. I'll be back playing music and announcing for folks for races. Hopefully next year, but if not, take a look online, take a look at the virtual racing components that are out there, and get out, get some exercise, and communicate with your family and your friends.
Perfect. All right. I want to thank Joe Casper. Last weekend, I had Dr. Joe Arante with me talking about the new procedures that you'll see when you go visit your dentist. And Dr. Joe Arante did a great job, so I want a big shout-out for that. And if you want a rebroadcast of that show, just go on anydelta.com and click on the date, and you'll see a rebroadcast of Dr. Joe's really, really fascinating report on what the new dental office will look like under COVID-19. That show was aired on May 9th and 10th, so look for that date. Click on that, and you'll hear Dr. Joe Arante. Joe Casper, thank you.
Absolutely. Glad to be part of it.
And we'll see you socially distanced around the campus of Northeast Delta Dental with a mask. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.